This is the Average Guy Network, and you have found Home Gadget Geek, show number 323, recorded on August 17th, 2017. Here at Home Gadget Geeks, we cover all the favorite home gadgets, news reviews, product updates, and conversation all for the Average Tech Guy. I'm your host, Jim Collison, broadcasting live from the Average Guy TV studios here in beautiful Bellevue, Nebraska. Of course, we post a show with world-class show notes each week out of the AverageGuy.tv. Don't forget, you can join us live, well, most weeks on our mobile app. I didn't get Spreaker running tonight, so the mobile app isn't working, but we'll get that working this week. And the best way to listen to the show when you're on the road is through our mobile app. You can get that. It's available to download. Super easy and super free. Go to homegadgetgeeks.com. That's the easiest way to get it. We also want to let you know we're commercial free both on YouTube and on Spreaker when I have it working. And we do that because you support us through Patreon. So if you're a listener and you like to support the show in some way, we have $1 and $5 plans that are available for you out there. It doesn't really matter. But if you want to support the show, and a bunch of you do, we appreciate you guys and what you do for us. Head out to theaverageguy.tv and just click on the Patreon link. And that's an easy way to subscribe. Easy. You can do it for a month or you can keep doing it all the time, whatever you want to do. Appreciate your patronage out there. And thanks for supporting the show. Just a reminder as well, we've got a SETI at home team going for Home Gadget Geeks. So if you're one of those guys that runs those, still running those packets, trying to find extraterrestrials, and why wouldn't you be? But I just recently got back into it. If you want to join the SETI at home team, we've got one of those. Head out to the SETI site, search for the teams under Home Gadget Geek. We have our own team if you want to join us. That would be a lot of fun. A big shout out and a big thanks, Paul Tian and Tony Chang, last week coming in from Morrow Data. They were actually kind enough to let me keep that equipment for a little while longer. They got some updates coming on. And so we'll be reporting back in with those guys from Morrow. And great show last week. Appreciate those guys coming on. And so thanks. Well, tonight, Joel Rushworth is with us. You know Joel. He's been on before, friend of the show. Little surprise for Joel this week. We'll talk about that here in just a second. But Joel, welcome to the show.
Thanks for having me.
No, it's good to have you. The surprise is that here I am listening to the Windows Insider podcast.
Oh, and surprise for you, not for me. I thought you were going to drop a bombshell on me.
No surprise for you. But here I am. We've had you on before. And so I'm listening to the Insiders podcast. And boom, there I hear you on there. They bring you on with a couple other guys. And it was just like, hey, I know this. It was one of those famous moments. Like, I know this guy.
My 15 seconds of fame. Yes.
Yeah. No, it was good. Did you get any, by the way, if you want to hear Joel on that podcast, you go to the Windows Insider podcast. They can't make that any harder or any easier to get it done. And I think, would you know the episode number that you're
number
on?
Number five.
Okay. Yeah. And they're not many there. I think they're only on six, and I think they do them about once a month, but you kind of want to hear from the inside. Donna Sakar is on there all the time. And so it gives you some good if you're interested in the Microsoft space. But how does one find themselves on the official Windows Insider podcast? How did that happen, Joel?
Well, Colin and David Smith from the Surface Smith podcast, the UWP podcast, talked with the folks from Microsoft about being up. I mean, they're insider MVPs just like me. They talked about being a part of it. And they asked, you know, I guess they asked them, who do you want to do as a guest? And they said me. So I ended up on the Insider podcast. It was a lot of fun.
Yeah. Well, good. It was awesome to hear you. It's like when you hear a friend and you're like, you weren't expecting it. They teased it out early in the show. And I'm like, wait a minute. I know that guy.
Yeah.
And sure enough, I was like, well, I'll know when he starts talking if this is the Joel Rushworth, because you got a little Canadian in you. And so sure enough, you started talking and I was like, yeah, that's Joel. I know that guy. So that's pretty cool. What's it like doing a podcast with Microsoft?
They have a very polished approach to it. Very regimented, and they know exactly what they want to do. And you know, you just go with it.
Yeah.
I listen to a lot of podcasts and I appreciate the differences in the styles that different, podcast or producers put out.
Yeah. No, it's good. It's been a good podcast. I've enjoyed it. It only comes out once a month, so it's kind of easy to kind of consume. They're pretty tight. They don't waste a lot of time. There's no jibber jabber. Mm-hmm. They get a little cutesy on it. I think sometimes they're a little cute with the with the Tomcat stuff and some of those pieces. But it's been enjoyable. It was great to hear you on there. You mentioned Windows Insider. Have you gotten your 2017 stuff?
No, not yet.
I haven't either. I was just thinking the other day. I was like, hey, it's August. They don't have to send anything to me.
No,
I was wondering if you had gotten anything.
No.
Okay. Well, are they gonna? Have you heard?
Yeah, I think they're just a little overwhelmed. But there's just the two of them trying to deal with however many insiders they've got, insider MVPs they have now. So
because they kind of lumped everybody into one big gigantic group.
Yeah.
You thought that would have made that easier. Speaking of insider, have you been keeping up with the builds? How do you feel about the Fall Creators Update? We're going to do a special show with Rich Hay in a couple weeks on the Fall Creators Update that's coming out. But how are you feeling about the Fall Creators Update? It's getting pretty normal these days. Like, it's not, there's some cool stuff going on, but how are you feeling about it?
I think that what they did with the skip ahead was a great idea, that it addresses this kind of lull period that we get right before the builds come out. It addresses that, it keeps people interested, that they're getting new builds with the new features. And we've known, like, it's not like they stopped developing, RS4 for a month. They're doing builds internally. They just weren't giving them to insiders for, 4 to 6 weeks. And for the people that are really rabid and want those new builds, they're going to get them. I passed on the skip ahead, and I may regret it. And we can talk about that if you ask me about something later.
Well, okay. Sure.
But because my fast ring machine is also actually the machine that I do my daily work on. It's a Surface Pro 1 tablet that I use for work.
You are brave.
Yeah.
You are brave.
And I wasn't brave enough to do skip ahead and take RS4 until another, 4 weeks. But I really need some of the updated apps, but we can talk about that later.
Yeah, right. Because so where you stay, they're not, this is weird, right? So when you stay on RS3, they're not updating the apps. When you go
they rolled us back.
Right. Yeah. So you're behind on the apps. You're in the most current stable build, but you're behind on the apps. And then they rolled a whole bunch of us, and I have a couple PCs. So I rolled one ahead to 4 and I kept one on 3 just so I'd have both going.
Yep.
And I think I have 4 in a VM and 3 on another machine, although I think I just blew that machine away. But, and so the apps stay the same, but then on 4, it's less stable, but you got all the app updates. And so it's kind of messy, but if you like that kind of stuff, and I think that's why we do what we do, is because we like that kind of stuff.
Right? Give me the new stuff.
Yeah. I'd say, and now it's never been easier to be an insider at this point. Mm-hmm. You can just go in and choose to set yourself to the insider builds, take the fast ring. I wouldn't do it. And I have never experienced an unstable build. What I've experienced is just a long update time. So, you're constantly at once a week for a while, you're getting a new update. And for me, that takes maybe a good hour to get all that in and installed and rebooted and working again. And so I haven't seen any instabilities in the system. I haven't had things crash. Everything works like it's supposed to. I haven't had those problems. It's just the inconvenience. So when you said you made it your daily driver, I was like, oh God, I couldn't take that kind of time commitment on my daily driver to make sure it's getting the most recent build. So that's a pretty big commitment from you.
Yeah. My Surface Pro 1, I mean, using it as my daily drivers for work, and it's mostly, a web page and a little USB scanner that gets plugged in. So I'm not doing anything terribly demanding with it. And I always keep the old build on there. And if I ever get a build that isn't good enough for me to live with day to day, I just roll back to the last one and wait for the next one to come.
Yeah. Yeah. You could certainly do that.
Yeah. It's pretty flexible.
Yeah. That's a good program to be in. And we have, anybody can be in it. You and I have a little bit of a different status because we were MVPs before. Mm-hmm. And so we're kind of in, and there's some other benefits to it, which are awesome. And I would cry if I lost him. There's some really good benefits to it, but it is, it has helped me kind of stay up with what's going on with Windows 10. And again, these development cycles with them being about every 6 months, you're not seeing, I think, in the OS, these earth shattering changes. new features, new stuff coming. Let's just talk about this now. You talked about the mix, the
story,
photos.
Story remix. Yeah.
Yeah. Story remix inside of the photos. Is it movies and photos? I should know this, but
no, it's just in the photos app.
Just in the photos app.
Yep.
And I haven't really even seen it yet, but they came out a while ago with some big promises about it.
Mm-hmm.
And you're doing some cool stuff with it. Maybe talk a little bit about the story about how you're using it.
Okay. So 25 years ago, I traveled in a program called Up With People. I spent a year traveling with 120 kids from 20 countries all over the world. And in 1992, we shot everything on film. And I was actually basically the cast photographer. So at the end of the year, one of the guys from California came to my place in Kingston, Ontario, and we, 6 months later, we sat down and we put together the yearbook. And the cast sent me lots of pictures and slides and negatives to use as material for that. And then when we finished publishing the yearbook and sending it out to everybody, I may or may not have sent everything back to those people. And by that, I mean, I have two giant boxes full of all of the stuff that was sent to me 25 years ago that has been sitting in the back of a closet. And in the end of July, I had my 25 year reunion down in Tucson, Arizona. And one of the girls from Europe came over to me at one point and said, "Hey, do you still have my negatives from 25 years ago?" And I was able to say, "Yes, yes, I do." So I've spent the last 2 weeks going through and trying to digitize all of the material that I had. And the really cool thing actually is that we have a Facebook page for the cast, and I started posting pictures mostly because I didn't know where some of the pictures came from. I couldn't remember, but that got the other cast members pulling out their books and their slides and their negatives. And now we're using OneDrive and everybody's just piling material into there. And when we're done, I want to pick the best of it and use Story Remix to do a media experience, a memory experience that would not have been possible 25 years ago. And the feature that I really want to play with is the choose the star. Because if we put 500, you know, of the best pictures into Story Remix, and then everybody else has Story Remix, they can pick themselves and say, "I want to see our year from my perspective," or "I want to see our year from, you know, my best friend's perspective in the cast." And what does Story Remix do to that memory when it comes from somebody else? And I think it could be like a really powerful experience. So I'm really looking forward to actually getting onto RS4. I'm on the fast ring. I didn't choose to skip ahead. So I lost Story Remix on my photos app. So I got to do something to get it back so I can finish this thing.
Yeah. And they closed it. I mean, it's closed. There's nothing we can do. Ken had asked if I could get him on. He didn't choose it. And then they closed it down.
Mm-hmm.
And it's closed. I mean, I don't know how, I don't have any draw there. And so I think we're going to get it pretty quick here. You're a month away. Right.
Yep.
And then I think we'll make the jump ahead. From a mechanic standpoint, did you start the OneDrive on your account and then share that with everybody else? Is that kind of what you did? How many gig of data do you think you've used so far? I mean, pictures can take, especially scanning them in, they can be pretty big.
Give me a second. I'll let you know.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
We are at two. Now I'm at this point, I'm scanning everything at a fairly high res with no compression, so I can go in and edit it, and then I'll run everything through compression afterwards. But let me see. This folder is at 14 and a half gigs.
That's not too bad.
2,662 files.
Do you have your Office 365 account attached to that? So you have the 1 terabyte of space? Or?
Yes.
Yeah. Okay.
Yeah.
So you're using all the available. Well, you got plenty of space at this point. You don't have to worry about that. And then, so because it's a shared OneDrive, then in theory, what you're hoping is then people can then, once the Story Remix rolls forward, they could attach to it as well. Because it's OneDrive, then they would have access to the account. Is that the way it works?
I don't think that they're going to actually have to have access to the source folder.
Okay.
You're going to share the
mix and they'll have access to it that way.
Because all the computing's done in the cloud. I don't think they actually have to have access to the actual files. I think.
No, that would be pretty cool. I mean, if you think about this collaboration, you're like, you know, this is perfect for those groups where there's many people and they kind of want to see it from their perspective. And so it's going to do some facial recognition, right? And then it's going to say these, and then I'm going to choose these, and then it's going to pick the best and remix them in a way that kind of makes sense, a little AI in there, right?
Yeah, before it went away, the version of Story Remix that I had already had the facial recognition showing. So it had gone through my OneDrive, and I could see, you know, there's 446 pictures in there of my wife and that sort of thing.
Yeah.
So it was already there.
Which is interesting. That's not very new, by the way. This had been in an old Microsoft Windows 7 app. There had been a Photos app in there. Mm-hmm. That if you loaded your files into it, it would go through and do facial recognition. I remember doing this like 4 or 5 years ago and thinking, oh, this is really cool. And then I never did anything with it. You know, it indexed my pictures. I've done the same thing now with, like you're saying, I went in there, loaded my pictures. We actually moved. I had my pictures all on Amazon because they had that deal going on where you could load an unlimited number of pictures to Amazon.
Yeah.
So I made a copy, brought them over into OneDrive because there's an advantage to having them there now. There was some big hype around this Story Remix when it first came out. And so it's like, oh, I want to see how this works. And so there are some cool features. Some of the things they hyped, I probably won't use, but that for that use case, that sounds pretty cool.
Well, and think about even like a high school yearbook. I just saw a tweet the other day where they were talking about doing a yearbook in OneNote. And I was like, wow, that's so 2016. Like, you know, I mean, don't get me wrong. I love OneNote and I think that would be a cool idea. But what you could do with Story Remix for a high school yearbook would be amazing.
Yeah. Yeah. No, for sure. What about Sway? You know, just make your yearbook Sway.
Oh yeah, sure. I mean, it's got Remix in it, right? But the one thing that Sway doesn't have is facial recognition.
Yeah.
So true. It can't make that personalized experience.
Sorry, I spilled my beer. And so now you're seeing Sarah come wipe it up. Isn't that nice? That's
seriously.
Full service podcast here. she's giving me the stink eye at this point. Like, they could see you, Sarah. It was one of those things. All I wanted to do was really just hand me a rag so I could quit wipe it up and nobody would see it. Yeah. Yeah. The key is this facial recognition.
Yep.
And so it ties people. How have you found, as you've been going through this? Well, you don't have it now, but when you were using it, how are you finding that facial recognition to work? Because like my kids kind of look like me and sometimes it would match me to them and mix that up. Have you seen some of that happen?
Yes, but I also played with Microsoft Garage had a facial recognition and tagging app that came out about 2 years ago that I played with. And that one you had to, and I'm assuming like, this is one of those things where we, as consumers, we don't see like the long tail of how long it takes these things to become reality. So we think, oh, you know, Story Remix was, they came up with it and they whipped it out in 6 months and, you know, we're going to have it. We don't understand just how much planning goes into these things. So this, I'm sure that this Garage app was a precursor to what they're doing in Story Remix. And with that Garage app, you could correct it. And the more correction you gave it, the better it learned. And I also have noticed that all of the tagging that it did of my pictures, the facial recognition that was in my OneDrive is gone. Hmm. So at some point, whatever they did with that app is going to interfere with what they're planning on doing. And they stripped out all my facial recognition that they had done.
They took it out. Yeah. Yeah. I was using an early version when they first announced this and I got it and it was not working right. I mean, it was doing some things over again and it was like, okay, this isn't, so I quit at one point, like, okay, they're going to eventually get this right and I won't mess with it. But it's a hard thing. I mean, it's a hard thing to do. And, you know, we probably even see maybe in a company like Microsoft, they might have three different competing products all trying to do this. And they're trying different ones at different times to kind of see, hey, what works the best? What are we going to do? You know, how is this going to work? Which one's going to surface its way to the top? And so there's some competition, which I think is good at the end of the day. So, well, that's pretty cool.
One more Story Remix story.
Yeah.
So this is a, I was dumb moment. So I was asked back in April or May to prepare a slideshow for a friend of a friend's 50th birthday. And I got all this media together from his family back in Germany and friends. And to be honest, I know the guy. I don't know any of the people that sent in all this media, their relationship to him, all that stuff. And putting together something like that in Story Remix is really nice. It works really well. Like, and the reason I know that in comparison to something like PowerPoint, which is what you would traditionally use, is that I put it all together. I got all the way to the end. And when I hit export, Story Remix crashed and it wouldn't do it. And I was dumb that I didn't test that. This is beta software. I should have tested, if I do all this work, will it export? So I had to redo the entire thing in PowerPoint. And even though I'd already created the story in Story Remix, so I knew how I wanted to do it when I got to doing it in PowerPoint, it was still more work to do it in PowerPoint than it had been to do it in Story Remix. Mm-hmm. So that's another reason why I'm looking forward to this, because it really seems to do a good job for putting these kinds of things together.
Yeah. And I messed with the music and the timing, and you can put the pictures in and then say, reset all the timing, and it'll go through and change some things. And I think that's really the key to this, is that you get these kind of random effects. And I think it tries to pick an effect based on the image to maximize the view of it and the way it's doing. And it centers faces and it does some of those other things. There's some basic things as it does, and it just does it for you, and you don't have to necessarily think about it. This is what sucks about PowerPoint. You got to think about all those effects, right? It's awful.
Yeah. Well, and hold this picture on screen for 0.3 of a second longer than, so that it times with the music, all those crazy editing things. And the thrust behind Story Remix is you're not the editor, you're the director, right? And that people can handle that. It's way less intimidating.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, and like you said, 500 pictures. If you're setting, all the effects to that many pictures, it just takes forever and you just won't. And whether it's up for 3 seconds or 2.5 seconds or 5 seconds, the randomness of it. I don't know about you, but like when I listen to music, I almost actually prefer it's random as opposed to me picking it. It's like when somebody makes me a sandwich, it always tastes better when someone else makes it. Like when I make it, it's iffy. When someone else makes it, it's super delicious. And I don't know why, but music and photos are the same way. When somebody else kind of decides, I really enjoy it. When I've done it, you're kind of like, I don't know why that is.
But oh, it's the surprise factor.
It must be. Yeah, it must be. So Story Remix is like that for photos, yeah. Right? Where you can kind of just say, hey, mix all these up. And then you can actually put music into it. Now, this was not working right when I was testing it, but I think the idea is you can also put music to it and they'll tweak the pictures to go to
the beat of the music.
Right.
Yep. Yeah. At one point I had a build that was doing that the way it was supposed to.
Loptus says in chat, he's telling the computer to make him a sandwich. We're not quite there yet, but my wife makes great sandwiches and I just really love it when she makes them for me. So it's one of those things where I too would love to be able to, some of the things they're getting good at too is grouping them by date or grouping them by location. I get these notifications. By the way, this isn't just Microsoft. Like if you're on a Google Drive, they do these things. Facebook tries to do these things for you. I was actually, Joel, surprised that you just didn't start loading all the pictures to Facebook and just make that the repository for.
You know what? That is the one thing that I do not understand about Facebook, is that that would be the logical thing, except that the experience in pictures in Facebook is so terrible. Yeah, that's true. That I just would not, you can't, it's fine for, oh, look, somebody's doing this. But if you really want to experience something with a nice quality image and all the other things, Facebook just ruins it. I do not understand how they have let that experience go away to somebody else, because they should be the place to do that. And they're not.
Yeah. Ted in the chat room says he took 800 pictures during his vacation. 3 months later, he's only deleted 100. So 700 pictures, still too many. That, and that's the digital world we live in. It's so easy. I mean, I have pictures I've taken on my phone I've never seen again.
Yeah.
You know, and you're like, you just snap them. You don't care. You know, I was in DC. Oh, I'm in DC about every other month. And one of the evenings we went out and I must have snapped 150 or 200 pictures just because you can, like, mm-hmm. you know, and I was surprised. I got a notification. Maybe it was Google at the time. I was uploading automatically to Google or something like that. And I got a notification. Hey, we've put together a nice, you know, vacation day for you or whatever. Same kind of idea, right? It wasn't that good, to be honest, but, we do have this problem. Now you're limited with you helping your friends. You're limited because you have physical material now. They can't make any more, you know, and it was expensive to make those pictures back then.
And that's one of the things I was going to say is that by and large, the pictures that I have a point. There is a reason that somebody pulled out their camera and took a picture of something because film was expensive and you just didn't waste it.
Yeah. You know, you thought about the pictures. You're like, oh God, I hope this one turns out because it's going to cost me, you know, whatever to get
a $1.50 or whatever it was a picture, but it all added up.
Yeah. Yeah. Tony says he was in Colorado last week and he took 2,500 pictures. So yeah, you know what? And I think some of these AI technologies we're going to get are going to be really good about this where it's going to group up similar pictures. It's going to get some, here's the best quality ones. It's going to really help you decide what you're going to get. Then Emily said in chat, I looked at my wedding pictures right after we got them back and maybe two or three times since then. The value in these kinds of pictures isn't a year or two or three or even five. It's 25 years, right? Mm-hmm. As you're going through this experiment right now with this group from 25 years ago, the value has gone up. I think it goes up exponentially the more years you go. And so, yeah, you know, you're taking these pictures now. This has always been my dilemma with technology is I get rid of it too early. Like with pictures, 0 to 10 years, it's questionable if there's any value. But after 10, man, that value starts rising very, very quickly as you lose track of some of those things. With technology, I always get rid of it. I hold it too long. And then about year five, I get rid of it. And at year 10, I wish I had it because you're like, wouldn't it be sweet to have a retro fill in the blank?
Yes.
You know, and I never have it because I got rid of it too early. But pictures, I think, are one of those kinds of things that after a decade or so, they really start growing in value. I bet now this interaction you're having on Facebook with this team that you met with 25 years ago is so rich. And they love the fact that you're bringing these pictures back, right? I mean, you're getting tons of views on those.
I don't know how to explain it, but it's just been so much fun posting up some crazy picture that I come across and somebody's negatives that nobody's ever seen before and the reaction that it gets and the discussion that it sparks between everybody has been a lot of fun.
Yeah. Well, Drashna mentions in chat, he says, well, you mean your memory starts to go? That is exactly it.
Oh, right? Yes.
Yeah. Well, and you actually think the brain starts changing the story as time goes on. Your brain can't hold all that stuff together. And so it starts to consolidate it. And it actually can sometimes change the facts, right? Then you go back to the picture and you're like, I don't remember that way at all. Mm-hmm. And it's, hey, the picture didn't change. Your brain did. And so that's an amazing thing to be able to go back to. I often wonder, because we're still a generation of film, I wonder what our kids who never have ever had film and it's always been digital, I wonder how they'll see or how many of these, you know, like Tony said, he took 2,500 pictures in Colorado. How many of those 2,500 pictures are going to make it 10 or 15? Because it's so easy to take them. It's also easy to lose them.
Well, I was going to say, I think the AI it's got to get better because really they're not going to lose them. They're just going to accumulate more and more and more. And can you imagine, like I mentioned doing a 50th birthday party retrospective with pictures for somebody. Well, it wasn't that hard because there wasn't a tremendous amount of pictures taken of this person when he was a kid. There's like a dozen of them. You know, yeah. One for each year sort of thing.
And they're important, right? Yeah. Those pictures are important. Where today.
But if you take well, somebody took 2,500 pictures on a vacation. So let's do the math on that. Say you take 25,000 pictures a year. How do you sort through that in 50 years and try and distill somebody's life out of it? That's going to be crazy.
I think, Joel, that it's still important we make in this is a term, this is a biblical term, but we call them Ebenezers, that you make these monuments, that you actually print them out or you get them printed on some paper that's going to survive a while. And this is great about pictures, is they'll last a long time if they're in a dark area and taken, mm-hmm. you know, taken care of. But I think it's important to take some of these pictures and get them printed and put them out and put them somewhere. If they live on our hard drive, even on our phones, they're not that reminder that they could be. One of the best gifts I got for my birthday was my oldest son's girlfriend has a little girl, Charlie, and I have just grown to just adore her. And we were sitting on the deck together. She was just sitting next to me, and Bree took a picture from behind, and it's just adorable. But she had it made into something I could put on the table. Like, she could have posted that on Facebook,
mm-hmm.
and it would. In fact, she did. But to have it made into something physical was so important, and I don't think we should get away from that. I still think we should be making physical, put it on the wall, you know, those kinds of things to remember.
Make it tangible.
Yeah. Yeah. Make it stick. Make it stay. Make it important.
And I, here's a, just a tiny rant.
Yeah.
One of the things, so I'm still using my Windows phone. I believe the last time that I was on,
you're the last one.
Yeah. You said you were going to ask and see if I was still using it. Yes. I'm still using my Windows phone. But one of the things that I really like about my Windows phone is the favorites tile. For picture, the photos tile, and being able to favorite individual pictures. And when I was loaning out phones to people, before I went to meet them, I would always ask them, can you collect 10 or 20 of your favorite pictures, put them in a folder on your hard drive? And I'll explain when I get there what I'm going to do with it. And I would put that tile with their favorite pictures. I called it below the fold. So off the main home screen down at the bottom. And I was always amazed with how many times when I got that phone back, that tile had been moved up over the fold onto the top half of the phone so that they could see it on a daily basis. Mm-hmm. And it's one of the few things that, why don't we have the ability to do that in Windows 10?
Yeah.
It drives me bonkers that I can make a nice big square tile on my home screen of my photos and I have no control over. I want my favorite pictures.
Yeah.
I don't want the picture of my toe that I accidentally took yesterday.
You would actually, from a screen perspective, even Windows 10 on the desktop, you would think it'd be, I imagine they'll get to this. They've got a pretty good, I mean, they got some really good images, right? I mean, they have gotten this screen image. It's your lock and your login. Mm-hmm. I mean, they've got that nailed. But wouldn't it be great if every once in a while Cortana would say, hey, I see you have new pictures. Do you want to pick a few of them to be your lock screen? And Cortana would run you through. Do you like this one? Yes or no. Do you like this one? Yes or no. That would be super easy to do and would be a great way to turn that AI into something usable. Right. And then it puts those in the web folder. Right. If you ever want to see in Windows 10, if you ever want to see where your pictures are coming from, just go to your Windows folder, and there's one called web. If you go in there, there's a bunch of folders in there, and everything that Microsoft downloads to be on your screensaver or in your screen is there. And I've made my own and put them in there. Rich Hay is a big fan of doing that. But wouldn't that be a great way to have Cortana then say, hey, I saw you took some new pictures. Would you like to use some of them?
Give Cortana access to Facebook, and she decides based on the number of likes that a picture got.
That's probably a good idea. And so you get some personalization. But even in chat, someone had said there was a question about the digital photo frames. Drashna had said that. And I'm still, well, those are kind of okay for me anyways. I still think there's something great about physically printing it or physically having it printed or putting it on canvas. We took some photos of the kids and we had some of those photo Fly, whatever those services are, but they'll mm-hmm. print it on canvas, which is
yes.
really cool, right? And it's just, I don't think that we should just take everything. And trust me, I'm a guy with 9 computers in my house. I love digital, but I don't think all of those things should be digital. I think some of those should be analog, where we could, just tonight, I was having dinner with Sarah before the show, and that picture of Charlie and I was on the table, and I just picked it up and took a napkin and had gotten a little food on it, you know, kind of rubbed it off. And I just looked at it and I was like, oh, that's great. And I just think those physical reminders, and again, you can do this however you want. And I love your story about having it available as a lock screen, because all those things are great as well. But I think those, having those.
Well, I want it as the photos tile.
Yeah.
So you can have a photos tile on your start screen in Windows 10, but what it shows is pretty much random. I want the ability to pick 20 pictures and have that photos tile flipping over, showing me my favorite 20 pictures. Mm-hmm. And when I get, I can build on that, right? When I get, the next time I have a picture come through that I like, I just want to favorite it and have it automatically get added to that tile. Done. Yeah.
Anyway. Actually, you should just be able to say it. Cortana, I really like that picture. And then Cortana would go back and find more like it and serve those up to you. I mean, why can't it just do that for you? So I think we're headed there, but no, pretty cool. So lots of chats about photo frames. You know, that was kind of a fad for a while, right? They came, and now, although I use my PCs like photo frames, so I have a big 22 inch in the kitchen and we can put pictures on it if we want. But
Surface RTs had nice screens.
Now I've got a Surface RT sitting right, literally right down here. Yeah. I got my RT back for my daughter. And it's my weather machine. That's what I've turned that into.
Right. Yep.
And if I unplug it, it's dead. So the battery is done. So no, and no replacing it. Like you know, but it's really hard to get into those RTs, or really hard. No. So it's like, well, I'm going to keep it plugged in. It's going to be permanently on my desk. I can tell you that tonight at 9 PM, 71 degrees here in Omaha, Nebraska. So pretty cool. Are you, do you still have an RT?
Yep. Yeah. We still have one in the house. Yeah.
Is it working? Can you unplug it? Has the battery held up or?
Yeah, no, it still works.
Okay.
Well, my Surface Pro 1 was a launch day device, and I've been through, I think, 3 or 4 different power cables for it. But the device itself, I mean, I use that thing a lot and it's still going.
Yeah.
It is crazy. The battery life was never great, but I'll bet you it's got pretty close to just as good as it was when I got it.
Really? Wow, my battery's toast. So I just leave it plugged in at this point. So
I'm talking about a pro.
Yeah. Well, you'd think RT, it had an ARM chip in there. The battery shouldn't have, should still be as good. So, well, that's okay. I didn't expect the device to go that long. My daughter has had my Surface Pro 3 now for a year. Not quite a year. She'll give it back to me as she goes to college, because she's gonna get a laptop in school. So they're gonna pass it back down. So we'll see how that goes. she is a huge YouTube. I mean, she just chews through batteries. So we'll have to see how that goes. Speaking of batteries, let's change gears.
Okay.
Not really speaking of batteries, but
okay.
You've got some VR stuff that you were showing me a little bit earlier. What are you doing in that? Why, first of all, why do you got it, and what are you doing with it?
Okay. So I have the new HP mixed reality headset, which I've been able to use a grand total of once.
And why just once?
Because I don't have a computer that can run it.
Yeah. It takes a pretty beefy computer to get those things done, right?
No, it doesn't. This is what sort of caused my dilemma. Because I've been doing a bunch of research, and part of the problem with the mixed reality headsets is the information that's out there, the message has got really muddled. So there's specs that developers need, and they need a beefy computer. And the specs for what a user needs is totally different.
Okay. Which is less, obviously.
It's less.
Yeah.
But even at that, it can get... So I went on like a hunt. I've been trying to decide whether or not I upgrade my Sandy Bridge Core i7 that's 7 years old, or I replace my Surface Pro. Now, I need to replace my Surface Pro, but do I wait until the Windows on ARM version of a Surface perhaps hypothetically comes out in the fall, which will not be capable of running the HP mixed reality headset, in which case I need to upgrade my PC, or do I go get the new Surface Pro? And if you get the Core i5 version of the Surface Pro, it should be able to run the mixed reality headset. Can't do it with a Surface Pro 4 from last year, but the Surface Pro 5 from this year, the Core i5 and up, should be able to handle it.
What's the difference between the two that doesn't allow you to run it?
This is like the sticky part where people are going to run into problems, because it gets even more confusing than that. So the chip has to have an Intel 620 graphics driver. But there's also two different variants of the Core i5 and up. There's a Y series and the U series. And a Core i5 Y series chip only has an Intel 615 graphics driver, not capable, or at least it's below the minimum spec for running the mixed reality headset. And then it goes even worse, because you need HDMI 1.2 or 1.4. And I went on a big search, sort of looking at what would work. And I even caught an author on Windows Central making this mistake, where he just went down the list and it was an article that was like, five laptops that will work with a Windows mixed reality headset. And their value priced one that he listed, an HP one, it was only HDMI 1.0. So it had all the other specs. It was a 2017 device, but it wasn't going to work with a mixed reality headset. And it's a minefield trying to figure out. And it's all on paper too. Like, that's let alone getting it home and plugging it in. But so hopefully they will have a way of making it easier for consumers to figure out what's going to work.
Now, that's making the assumption you're using the onboard video that comes with those chips. If you upgrade, and I reach back to grab the box. So I just upgraded this week. Let's see. Yeah, here we go. You can see that. So I just bought the GeForce. This is the Acer's version of it, the 1060. This is VR ready, but not all 3 gig 1060 GeForce cards, because of what you're talking about, necessarily come VR or come ready for that, because the specs that you're talking about. So you do have to be, if you're going to get into this space, you really got to check your specs.
Mm-hmm.
This box, as I look at this, VR. So the VR Works piece that's down here lets me know at this point it's got all the right specs.
Right.
Now, it depends on the headset too. So like if you're going to use Oculus versus what you have from HP versus, there's some differences, right?
Yeah. The minimum specs for the Microsoft is considerably lower than what you need for an Oculus or a Vive.
Yeah.
I mean, if you can run it with a Surface Pro 5, sorry, just the Surface Pro, it's not the 5. I think of it as the 5. But, I mean, you could put that in your backpack and have like a 12-inch cable connecting to the headset, and away you go. That's kind of cool.
Yeah, I think we're getting to that point where it's going to be that simple. It's been, you know, we 2 weekends ago, I had a party with my interns, and they had an Oculus Rift there. And so they were playing the game and they wanted me to play it. And I'm like, no, I'm not going to get joked on for this one. And I'm an old guy anyways, but they were doing some really, really cool stuff, but that Oculus takes some beef. I mean, you do have to have some beef. And I'm glad you said this, Joel, because I've been thinking like all VR headsets were going to take monster rigs because of Oculus. Right. I think that's where that's where the misconception comes in, right? Is everybody's thinking, oh, I got to have this monster rig just to do VR. As I was looking for a new video card, and I was looking for my video card for Bitcoin reasons. We'll talk about the her maybe in a little bit. But I specifically wanted to find one to make sure it did have VR capabilities, because if that becomes an option to me, you know, I don't want to drop $200 on a video card or $250 and say, oh no, now I can't do VR after I bought this really expensive video card to put in the PC. So it was something I was looking for in the purchase.
Yeah, I think I'm excited about what Microsoft has done, because they have made it far more approachable than with the inside out tracking, the low price for entry, and the lower requirements for the PC that you need to run it. All of those things, I think, hopefully bode well for, and plus if I can plug this thing into the new Xbox One X and play Forza Motorsport 7 or whatever, Sign me up.
That'd be pretty cool.
Yeah.
That'd be a great reason to do it. Did you buy that? Is that yours? Did they send it to you? How are you?
They've never sent me anything. I bought that. That's my money.
What did it run you?
Canadian.
Yeah. Which is always more expensive.
Yeah.
Sorry.
Well, it's the, okay. American, this one's $329.
Okay.
Well, that's not bad. And $300 for the Acer version. But based on what I'm seeing around the net, I'd spend the extra $30 and get the HP.
Okay. And field of vision, pretty good in there? Or I know you said you saw it once, but.
Yeah, 95 degrees.
Okay.
I think is what they said. Yeah. I actually got a chance I tried out a Vive and this is high resolution. The picture was really nice in it.
Okay. Yeah. I think we're getting closer. I think in the next couple of years, it's going to be, you know, with some of the Bitcoin stuff I've been thinking about, mm-hmm. I too have been looking at now your i7, you got to be close to that first gen, right?
It's Sandy Bridge. I think it is the first gen.
Yeah. So your first gen core, I'm probably third gen.
Mm-hmm.
And so I think that was 3 years ago, maybe four, depends. I'd have to go back and look at my Amazon purchase for that. And so as I was putting this new card in, that's always a time and you go like, like what else should I be upgrading in here? Mm-hmm. You know, kind of thinking about it. And you never do a CPU change right at that point. It's just not worth it. But, and I have a 4770. So it was a really good CPU in that day. I don't overclock. So I didn't buy the overclock version of it.
Mm-hmm.
It has 8 gig of RAM in it. I was like, well, it could do 32. So I started pricing out 32 gig of RAM. Well, it's like $250, you know, you're like, well, and then you're thinking it supports, I think I bought like maybe like 1300 and it supports up to 3000 on the RAM. And you're like, oh, should I, you know,
getting it? Yeah. Sitting in front of PC Parts Picker can be dangerous.
Yeah, no, it was, I had one of those moments last night as I, so I got this new video card, this 1060 in, and before we talk about that, anything else on the VR? I mean, so you got to make a decision, Joel, right? What are you leaning towards about how are you going to get this thing running? You got it. How are you going to get it running?
If I had my druthers, I would rather have the Windows on ARM powered tablet, but I think I've run into a stumbling block where the USB scanner that my company uses is not going to work on a Windows on ARM powered device, which means I'm probably going to have to go with the new Surface Pro. Yeah.
Yeah.
Sounds terrible. Like, oh, I'm going to have to go buy a Surface Pro. And there's some other devices, the Lenovo Mix 720, and there was the Dell has one that all had the 7500U Core i5 and the Intel graphics. So we'll see.
You had a question in the chat room. You're in Victoria. Are you guys having fires up there?
Not here on the island. Not any, at least not any that are affecting us. But we started to see blue sky again for the first time about 4 days ago. We'd been covered with smoke.
Yeah. How far are they away from you?
Hundreds of miles.
Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah. I had some friends in Washington and they were saying, it's a little smoky down here. And they had some friends in BC and so up in your neck of the woods there, literally.
Mm-hmm.
And so, I know they've been having some fires that have been spreading that smoke. So, well, it's fun as you start thinking about these potential upgrades and things that you got to do, you know, like, do I go on ARM? Am I going to upgrade my PC? I built this PC 3-4 years ago. I haven't touched it not once since I put it together. It's been great. This is what drives the video here.
Mm-hmm.
And it's not until you have a new option. And we had, I'd had Edward Wenninger on the show. He's our Bitcoin guy.
Yeah.
And he has never gotten me to do anything with Bitcoin. Like he's been on 3 or 4 times now.
Yeah.
And each time I'm like, yeah. Price has just rocketed. Although that's not why I got into this. I started getting into this Saia coin, S-A-S-I-A, Saia coin. Mm-hmm. They're a storage coin. So because I'm a home storage guy, right? We come out of the home server show. I thought, this is interesting, doing storage on the blockchain. So you buy the coin, it pays for the storage. You can distribute your storage out. And so, you know, you have no one piece of storage, any one place.
Oh,
nobody can request it because it's on the blockchain and it's anonymous. Nobody can request, like, we want your data. It sounds like it's for criminals, right?
Yeah.
Right. Those kinds of things. Hey, the blockchain was made for criminals. That's what I'm, you know, so anyways, so I started looking into it. Well, to use the service, you have to buy these Saya coins. And they're super cheap. They're like $7 a thousand at this point. So they're not, it's not like Bitcoin, which is $4,500 a coin right now. Mm-hmm. Interesting to see if that ever drops. So you can either buy them, which $30 bought me like 3,000 Saya coins, which seems kind of weird, or you can mine them. And so I started mining on this old equipment. What? Mining on old video equipment just blows. It goes slow, right? It's just a terrible experience. And so I started thinking, and so Dwayne Robinson, who's a Microsoft employee, I don't know if you, mm-hmm. if you follow,
I've heard the name.
Dwayne's on the show from time to time. So he contacted me on Facebook and he said, yeah, I'm mining. And I bought this 1060, right? He said he did all this research and he thought, hey, if I'm going to get an NVIDIA, right? You can either buy ATI or NVIDIA. If I'm going to buy a card and I'm going to get the right price point for the mining that I'm doing. Sure, today mining is gigantic. Have you ever looked into the mining community lately and to see what's going on with these guys?
I haven't, other than the fact that they are driving up the price of video cards. They're more expensive now than they were a year ago.
Yeah, like these 1070s and 1080s and 1090s. Did they make a 1090? I could have made that up. But those 1070s and 1080s for sure are like $700 or $800, $700-$800. You can't find them. Like these miners are all snatching them up right now because Bitcoin has gotten so expensive. Well, the 1060 actually still a pretty reasonable price. I got it for about $225, which mm-hmm. for a 3 gig, pretty nice card on it. I don't need much more. I could have spent another $70 and got the 6 gig card, but I started using this, this little application for Windows called GPU Shark. Pretty cool. It actually will help you track everything that's going on in your video card. So another thing that's coming in Redstone 4 is GPU monitoring, right? Yeah. But we don't have that today.
Right.
In the Fall Creators or in the Creators update. So this GPU Shark, just a little executable, you don't even have to install it. You just run it and it will give you all the breakdown. Now you have to have you have to have either NVIDIA or an ATI card. That's not ATI anymore. It's AMD. And you have to have either one of those cards. But it'll tell you the temperature, how fast the fan is spinning, you know, what megahertz it's running at, all those cores and stuff. So all of a sudden, I started geeking out in the house on all my video cards. And so I started going around all the PCs and running this Shark, this GPU Shark. And lo and behold, on our Media Center PC, I had the crappiest. This is an NVIDIA 220. It's awful. Like, it has 1 gig of RAM on it. It's got to be old. It's just, it has HDMI.
Mm-hmm.
But it probably an early version. I think I've had this in the machine for, I don't know, 5, 6, 7 years. What I couldn't figure out on that PC for the longest time is why sports and HD were stuttering. Well, here
ding,
you
ding,
go.
Ding, 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 ding. You found the culprit.
Here you go. So I ran that GPU Shark, and I ran an HD channel. And it just, like, it took it to 100%. So this was one of those cool little finds for me. Like, I've never been worried about a video card because I've never done anything that's taken, I've never done VR, which mm-hmm. what you're doing, right? Or mixed reality, I think is what Microsoft's calling it now. And I've never done games that took massive amounts. And so until I started checking on these things to realize, oh my God, like there's a whole nother world just in these video cards. And I know everybody that's listening is like, yeah, you dumbass. Of course it is. It's been out there the whole time. You've just been ignoring it. Yes, I have. But so this got yanked. I moved some cards around. I bought the 1060. It goes in the main. That's what's running this right now. The 640 that I was running here moved over to the Media Center box. Amazingly enough, HD channels, 50% GPU. Like, you know, you're like, oh, imagine what happens when you throw the right hardware at something. And then I brought, it had, well, of course, this was this. And then I have a 440 that's running the broadcast server now. That was the change that I made that broke Spreaker. So I need to figure out, I did something with a driver and it's not working right. But Joel, I got to admit, there's been a whole, in the last week, I have obsessed about like miners, and there's an MH, like mining per hash, I think with Bitcoin, where the more you do, of course, the more you can make, and it's a random thing and you're competing for these Bitcoins. It's an underworld that I Joel, have you gotten into this beyond
other than listening to I obsess about enough things. If I got into that, my wife would divorce me.
Yeah. Well, it's a little addictive. Like, so I put this new card in here. Let me just show you this really quick. So this is kind of fun. So I put this new card in. This is a good example of what, you know, if you're a numbers guy, this could get really ugly on you. So you should be able to see that little dashboard. Okay. So that's, and I think I can give that number away. It doesn't have all of them in there, but this is the mining that I'm actually doing at this point. And you can see the low numbers down there, you know, just kind of hovering towards the bottom. That's the old 640 card.
And then boom, on the 16th.
Yeah. Yeah. You see all of a sudden.
Quadrupled.
Yeah. All of a sudden you see, bam. And, you know, I can mine where I was maybe mining 10 Saya coins a day. Now it's mining, you know, what's that number? I've turned it off, but 50, 60 some Saya coins a day. So I'm seeing 5 or 6 times. I've turned it off. It's at 57 now in a 24-hour period, where it was about 10. So 5 times, maybe 6. I haven't run it for a full 24-hour period yet. But Joel, this is super addicting. Not going to lie. You're like, oh my God. And then, you know, I looked at video cards for like a full day before I pulled the trigger on, okay, what's the right one to get and how are we going to do this? Then, of course, I started talking to my interns about this, and they're building rigs. They're living in the dorms, so they don't pay for power. So they're like, how many rigs can I afford to put in my room because I'm not paying for the power? So, you know, you can make pure money off that, allegedly. We'll see how that goes. So, Ben A, as you're mentioning these, all, you know, a lot of the devices you mentioned earlier, the Surface Pro, they all have built-in graphics. They're not really great miners.
No.
But there's a whole underworld out there. And so Edward, I'm going to have to tell him this time, for whatever reason, this sucked me in. And I think it was because I had a reason to be in. Like, all of a sudden I wanted to make it work for the storage. Like, I want to figure out, like, can you do this distributed sharing of storage? We tried this with Walla years ago, and it didn't work, and they shut it down. But I'm wondering if the blockchain will fix that. So anyways, that's been my, I spent a lot of time thinking about that this week.
So how much storage in terms of volume do you get in the cloud for your coins?
Well, so here's the deal. I'm providing local storage. So I have an HP N40L box that has a bunch of hard drives in it, about 3 terabytes of data that I'm not really doing anything with. So you run this client and it connects to the blockchain, and then people can rent space on your box locally, and you won't get the full files. You're going to get some kind of
it. Yeah.
You're going to get a piece of it, right? Distributed, but they pay rent for both storage and bandwidth. And you set that whatever you want to, it's a bid. It's kind of a bid and buy type deal. You say, here's what I want to charge. And people have to accept that bid to put their data on there. And it's super crazy. Like, I figured out all the nuances of it. I've just started going on this, and it's in Saya coin. So like you say, okay, well, so like right now I'm charging like 25 coin a terabyte. So you're like, so what does that mean? Well, if they're selling for $6 a thousand and it's 25, it's not even pennies that we're talking about here. From a cost perspective, you just have to kind of think of it in terms of these coins.
And is that per day or?
No, per month.
That's per month. Per month. Okay.
Yeah. Mike Wieger and I tried this with another one called Storage, STORJ. And that software was doing some weird things on our computer and to our network. And so we shut it down. But the Saya coin has been interesting. Joel, I don't do it because I think I'm going to make big money.
Yeah.
I do it because it's interesting. Right. You're like, hey.
Yeah. Yeah.
This storage on the blockchain, this is kind of interesting, you know, and so I kind of stayed with it for those reasons. So I'm going to keep messing around with it. I'm going away for a week, and I'm just going to let the miner. I've shut the miner off while we're doing this, obviously,
because
it's 100% CPU. But I'm about ready to leave for a week, and I'm just going to turn the miner on and let her run and, you know, come back and, you know, so I have 500 Saya coin that's literally worth 5 cents, maybe something like that. So again, now if the price goes up, if people start buying this coin and the price, nobody thought Bitcoin was going to go anywhere either. And it's $4,000 a coin right now. It's kind of weird. The other toy real quick, the other toy I picked up, and I don't, have you ever messed around with these mini Bluetooth keyboards?
Not really.
So Jellycomb, which is a Chinese, this stuff got to ship directly from China, and it's super cheap, right? Jellycomb. Yeah. You can find them on the web. They sent me a note and said, hey, you want to try one of these out? I said, sure. It's just plastic type thing. But you can really see the size. I mean,
they look like the keys on the chat pad on an Xbox.
Yeah. Right on. And you kind of think, how cool could this be? Well, we have a couple devices around the house. In the kitchen is one of them where there's a PC on the wall, right? And every once in a while, it's kind of handy to have a keyboard, although it's touchscreen as well. But you can do, you know, little, here's the touchpad.
It's a trackpad.
Kind of interesting. So I'm going to be working with this over the next couple of weeks just to say, would it be helpful to have one of these available to you? I've got a full-size Microsoft. Do you ever see those Microsoft Wedge keyboards? They're metal on the back and they have a plastic cover on the front, a rubber cover on the front that comes off and you can fold it into a tent.
They had the Wedge mouse as well. Yes.
Right. Yep. Those are dynamite. Like I keep one in my backpack all the time. I can't travel without that keyboard because I use it on the plane. But interesting, what could be the use cases? And was it handy to have one? And they're Bluetooth. Mm-hmm. So I could use it with the Surface RT or any of those kinds of things. What would be the use case where this kind of thing would be handy? I think oftentimes, even on my phone, if I want to type out something that's long, it might be faster to type it out on here than to do the keyboard on the phone. So I don't know. Have you ever thought about going with a small size keyboard like this just to kind of have around?
Well, it'd be great for a media center.
Oh, totally. Yeah. No, right on. I have a full size keyboard and mouse in there. That's a good idea. I should make my wife use this for a couple of weeks and see. I don't have Bluetooth on that PC, so I'll have to put Bluetooth on there, a little dongle.
Yeah.
To make it work. That's a good idea. It's a good idea. So those are my two gadgets. Anything else? Anything else you've been messing with that we can cover in the next minute or two?
No, we
get it all.
I'm really obsessing with the whole getting all these pictures scanned in. That has become the last 2 weeks that's been the focus. And it's cool because you put the slide in, you walk away, come back a half an hour, four negatives are scanned and you put another one in we've actually started watching commercials. Haven't watched commercials in ages because you always fast forward past them. But now the timing's just about right. Is like, okay, we're on the second commercial, time to go check the slides, the negatives, put some new ones in, hit scan, and then go back to the TV show.
Yeah, isn't that funny? The things you see and the things you go through. It's I imagine there's an enormous amount of social reward for you in this because you're unlocking these memories, right?
Yeah, I don't. It wasn't so much like the reward was freeing my conscience from guilt.
There you go.
That's it. That's really what it was. Like I knew that I had all this stuff and in some ways, if I hadn't kept all this for 25 years, it would have all gone back and been in disparate places and this never would have happened.
Right.
But because I have two boxes, it's all, you know, it's not organized, but it's all there.
Right.
And I'm just methodically going through it and rediscovering. And it's been a fun journey.
It's a little bit of a miracle that you kept it, to be honest. I mean, you've lugged that around. How many different places have you lived in 25 years?
Fewer than you'd think.
Okay.
Three or four. Not very many.
But still,
I still have it. Yep.
25 years, you know, it goes past that 2-decade rule where your chances of throwing it out are pretty or losing it or get ruined. I mean, I think I've had a basement flooded at least once. I've a couple moves. I've gotten sick of looking at things. And so I've thrown them out. you know, and you kind of go, so kudos to you for keeping it. I mean, that's, I actually have sitting behind me as you look right here. This is my dad who passed away a couple years ago. This is his stamp. This is his stamp collection. And we don't actually know if it's worth anything.
Like, yep.
And right now nobody's collecting stamps, so it's worth zero. But you don't know when that moment's going to hit again, when all of a sudden stamps become the thing again.
I have a similar box behind me over here.
Yeah.
Yeah.
As well as all those, what are those red things back there? What do you? Yeah.
Those are Ninja Cat headbands, 42 of them.
What is a Ninja Cat headband? How does that work?
Well, you know, the Ninja Cat that is sort of like, right, the insider mascot.
The insider, yep.
Yeah. Well, I thought it would be cool to actually originally tried to do these to take them down to the last MVP summit that we were at. And I didn't get them done in time, but I had a meetup here in Victoria. So I had 20 or so done for that. And we used it in a picture. So it looks like the red headband is flowing in the wind. Right. And then I had a bigger meetup in May. We had almost 60 people.
Wow.
At it, which was crazy. And then when Microsoft Canada came to Victoria for their they have a fan road show that they're doing. I pulled some of the insiders aside and we actually, I don't know if you saw Donna's tweet that had the build number in it.
Yeah.
With the headbands.
Was that you guys?
That was us.
Nice.
Yeah. I wasn't in the picture cause I was taking it. But yes, that was my crazy group of insiders here in Victoria having some fun.
You guys, that Canadian group is, you guys are, that's a good group. I mean, you guys are well-spirited and the USA group is kind of, oh, I shouldn't probably say this too loud, kind of blah.
Well, you know what? It's all about community.
Yeah.
If everybody's just disconnected on the internet, there's only so much you can do. But the minute, like your reaction to hearing me on the Windows Insider podcast is because we know each other. Mm-hmm. And the same sort of thing applies, I think, to having a local community for insiders so that you know that you're not a crazy person, that right. There's other crazy people like you.
That, you're still crazy. You just know.
Yeah, you're still crazy, but it's just good to be with other crazy people.
Yeah.
You know, if you tell your friends about this kind of stuff, your close friends, they might roll their eyes. You know,
they do roll their eyes. I was just talking to somebody today about this podcast and I'm like, yeah, I got this other MVP insider coming in from Canada. And they're like, what are you doing? You know, and you're like, actually people do listen. So it's good.
So finding some like-minded people so that you can build some camaraderie, I think is important.
Yeah. No, right on. Makes me want to move to Canada. Well, you guys are just so nice there in Canada. That's probably why it works better. It's because you're just,
I'm sorry.
You're just nicer.
I'm sorry.
It's always great. When we have Erin Lawrence on, she's out in Calgary.
Yep. And I follow her on Twitter.
She's just dynamite and love having her on. So I always joke, you know, you Canadians, you guys are just the nicest people in the world. Joel, thanks for coming on. Hang around for a few minutes if you would. Let me close this thing up and then we'll do just a few minutes post show.
Thanks for having me
side here. You bet. Great. Thanks for coming on. Well, you're a big deal now. You're on the Windows Insider podcast. So you're a big deal. I got to have you on. So thanks for saying yes. Good to have you back. I'll remind everyone, if you want to support the show, and who wouldn't want to, but if you want to, head out to our Patreon link. There had been a comment, Emily had made a comment earlier about the lack of an Amazon link. Yeah, I got shut down on Amazon again. And so I've just kind of given up on it, on that mode. I think on Patreon, we're up to about $73 a month, and you guys supporting us, which is awesome. Always be very, very open and honest about those numbers if you want to know. And so I appreciate you guys doing it. We're able to funnel that into interesting things going on here in the network, as well as the Tech Scholarship Fund. We haven't done that in a long time, but if we needed to, oh, we probably could in some kind of way. And so Joel just put in the chat room Canadian bacon, which is another great thing from Canada. You guys have the greatest of everything.
Well, I was referencing the movie.
Yeah.
and I can't remember that. Who's Michael Moore, John Candy.
Okay.
It stars John Candy.
And you had Bob and Doug McKenzie. I mean,
yeah.
How else? Rick Moranis, for God's sakes, he's a Canadian. So you guys have to, and you got the hottest prime minister. Is that what you call him?
Yes. He's the prime minister.
Dude, you scored. We have to be careful what I say. We somehow got the, And you got.
How about the short end of the stick?
Yeah. And holy cow. Can we, that dude. Wow. Wow. He's got some stuff going on. He's super popular.
He's doing some the things right. Absolutely.
Yeah. No. Well, anyways, so thanks for that little diversion. Sorry about that. No, it's my fault. If you want to contact the show, you can send me an email, jim@theaverageguy.tv. You can find me on Twitter @JayCollison. Joel, how do they find you on Twitter?
I have a crazy Twitter handle. It's GWYDIONJHR, which is Gwydion JHR. The first part is Welsh. It's from mythology.
Nice. That's super nerdy. I'll put that in the show notes, by the way. So you can click on that and follow Joel. You'll want to do that if you're into this Windows stuff. I want to remind you that the AverageGuy.tv platform, both web and media hosting, provided by MapleGrove Partners. Of course, get secure, reliable, high-speed hosting from people that you know and you trust. And, of course, you know Christian. By the way, Christian, we have Cyber Frontiers going again. So if you've unsubscribed from that, it's time to resubscribe to it. We just posted 39. And, of course, you can get more information about MapleGrove Partners at MapleGrovePartners.com. Don't forget, we thank LastPass for their sponsorship of the mobile app. When I have it working, sorry about that tonight, you can get access to that. And we thank LastPass for their sponsorship, but you can get that at HomeGadgetGeeks.com. And of course, visit LastPass.com for keeping track of all your passwords. We are live every Thursday, 8 p.m. Central and Eastern, not next week because I'm at Podcast Movement. So we're going to be going out there and I could podcast from there, but it'd just be too crazy. So take a Thursday off. If you're in the live program, we won't be here next Thursday. Go listen to Cyber Frontiers if you're needing something to listen to. We'll be back the Thursday after that with all kinds of great podcast stuff coming for you. I bet I'll meet some new people at Podcast Movement that are going to end up on the show. So it'll be a good time and some new guests on as well. Don't forget, we have Rich Hay coming up. And Joel, you'll want to listen to this because Rich Hay is everything Windows, right? And so as we talk about the Fall Creators Update, we'll have Rich Hay on, and he's going to give us all the details.
Possibly the only person in the world that actually understands and keeps track of all the builds. He's amazing. I don't know how he keeps it straight.
Oh man, he has a page, just all build information. If you want to know, Rich is the guy. And I listen to Rich, Windows Observer is his podcast. I listen to Rich at 1.5 speed. And there are times I have to stop it because it's just too much information all at once. I'm like, and it's not his fault. I'm listening to him too fast, but he goes on his podcast. And if you want all the Windows and no BS, like he is just all business when it comes, he's got a great podcast. I've really grown to appreciate it. You can catch that Windows Observer. Just search for it where greater podcasts are found. We're live every Thursday, 8 p.m. Central, 9 Eastern, on here at theaverageguy.tv live. We're going to post show. Good night, everybody.